This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for March 23, 2006. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois. In agricultural news, Creekstone Farms is suing USDA in order to gain the right to test all its cattle for mad cow disease. Also, there's growing tension in the Senate over China's economic policies, and the National Farmers Union is preparing for its annual Washington, D.C. fly-in. I'll have details of these and other stories later this half hour, and Drew Lerner will be by to look at the agricultural weather. It's all on the Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Thursday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. May wheat, 407 and a half, down 9 and a half. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat, 344, down 5 and a quarter. July, 356 and a quarter, down 5 and three quarters. May corn, 219 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter. July, 230 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter. September, 239 and a half, down 3 and a quarter. December, 251 and a quarter, down 2 and a half. May beans, 574 and three quarters, down 2 and a quarter. July, 587 and a half, down 2 and a quarter. August, 592, down 2. November, 603, down 2 and a quarter. May soybean meal, 173.90, down 140. May soybean oil, 23.03, up 15. At the Merck March feeders, 104.65, up 2 and a half. April live cattle, 83.27 and a half, up 30. April lean hogs, 58.22 and a half, up 102 and a half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon.
Want to start over at the Merck and the lean hog pick, which certainly had a nice little move up today. Why did it?
Well, seasonally, hogs are kind of in a time window here to begin to show some improvement. I think that the scales were kind of tipped on the cold storage report, showed less inventories around than what the market was looking at or expecting. So that does tell you that consumer demand is good. So I think that kind of tipped the scales to kind of give it the higher trade. So, you know, price-wise here, we did put in a reversal to the upside. Now, technically, we will need to see some follow-through strength for that to kind of be validated. But everything looks, like we're at least trying to put the brakes on the decline that we've seen in the hog complex for a while.
The hog strength, though, not enough to pull up the cattle futures.
Well, cattle are going to trade their own set of fundamentals. They're struggling, but you've got some pretty good downward momentum in cattle market, at least for right now. But cattle is going to be a follower, I think. If hogs are probably the one to kind of turn up first based upon some seasonalities. And, seasonally, though, you know, red meat demand should begin to pick up in here, and that should offer some underlying support. But we've got a lot of chicken breasts around that nobody really is too anxious to consume at this point.
Let's turn our attention over to the Chicago Board of Trade, and specifically in that corn pit. where we've been keeping an eye of whether or not we'll see a break above last Friday's high of 233 or even last week's high of 233 last week's high or Friday's high of 225. And after we saw the price action today, Dan, it looks like it's going to have some work to do to make that tomorrow.
I'd be happy with a higher weekly finish, and that after today's decline, that is a little out of reach. If we would regain back what we lost here today, we would be at least even for the week, and I think that would be a step toward at least getting the market in position for a rally, maybe going into the report. I think the chatter will be expectations of, you know, some lower planted acres and that kind of stuff that might encourage some short covering activity. The market is clearly on the oversold side of the equation, given the decline, you know, has had basically here since first part of early March high. But today's decline is still okay. I mean, we had the Monday decline, and then we had the hard up on Tuesday, and then we kind of gave back a little bit of that on yesterday, and we followed through here today. But we're still above that Monday low, and if the market would turn around tomorrow and come back and close, regain what it lost here today, it probably wouldn't be too bad a shape technically. Failing to do that, though, would tee the market up, I think, for a decline right on into mid-April.
And your analysis on the December corn chart?
Well, same thing. We're above the trend lines, at least on the December corn, but we did pop underneath the trend lines on May and July corn, which is not a good sign. So I think you have to take the clues from the old crop inventory that it may go ahead and pull December on down. But I suppose chart points to be watching is this 250 area. If we start closing underneath 250, I think that would turn a lot of technical systems, trend following systems, to the short side. They've already went short most of the front end stuff. That's why the front end stuff's a little weaker, because you're getting more selling interest from the technical crowd on the front months. But I suspect that it's going to probably happen. The front's going to lead new down, because we do have a lot of inventory around to move, you know, over the spring months.
Let's turn our attention then to the wheat pit, where the free fall in the lead option May continues from 28 February's high, 390.5, till today, 344, filled that gap that was left over from 24-25 January today. Is there anything in your chart action that might suggest the free fall might be close to ending?
There's some cyclical work, both in all of these markets, really, from wheat, corn, soybeans, that there is, some cyclical work that kind of tells us that we're in a window here to maybe, try to find some kind of cycle low. I don't have a lot of confidence in it at this point. The wheat market, the underlying fundamental structure has flopped. You know, we were working the hot and dry weather in the southern plains all winter. Now rain has come to that area. Meaningful amounts have come to that area. So you've kind of pulled the plug on the trade perception that the wheat crop was getting smaller and supplies were getting tighter. Now the perception is that the crop has stabilized, at least stabilized, and actually with the amounts of rain, the supplies now are getting larger. And when you get larger supplies, the market has to reflect that with lower prices.
Same thing in the Kansas City wheat?
That's the driving force. Chicago takes its clues from Kansas City. You can see Kansas City was down like 9 to 10 almost. Chicago wheat was down half that. So, Kansas City wheat is the leader. And that kind of is what's got into corn. I mean, corn was pulled higher a lot by the climb in wheat prices over the winter months. And, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, and that's what's kind of happening to corn at the moment.
And the soybeans just sort of marking time at the moment, it appears.
Well, soybeans, everybody's bared up for soybeans to go down 50 cents or 60 cents or a dollar. Actually, they're holding up better than corn and wheat is. The trend is, over the last 3 weeks, has went to sideways to lower. But it hasn't been a clear decline. So I think technically you still can call it more of a sideways type affair, but it's definitely got a downward tilt to it, whereas, you know, corn and wheat has broken their uptrend lines, which is, you know, a clear indication that the late winter, early spring rally high is in, and now we're, on the downside here as we go into Midwest planting.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services, he is in Bloomington, Illinois. At the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, will be joining us for a look at agricultural weather. AM 580 meteorologist Mike Tanura's forecasts for Illinois and Indiana tonight. Mostly cloudy with scattered light snow showers and flurries, lows ranging between 24 and 30 degrees. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy with light snow showers and flurries, most numerous in the northern and eastern regions, highs ranging from 37 in the north to 45 degrees in the far south. In agricultural news, Creekstone Farms Premium Beef says it will file a federal lawsuit against USDA over its decision 2 years ago that blocked the Kansas meat packer from voluntarily testing all its cattle for mad cow disease. A large portion of Creekstone's business in 2003 involved exports to Asia. Those exports were cut off in December of 2003 when a positive case of BSE was reported in the United States. Creekstone claims it is losing $100,000 a day because of the export ban. 2 years ago, Creekstone convinced Japanese buyers to pay for BSE tests. Creekstone ordered equipment, built a laboratory, and was training staff to test when USDA officials said in April of 2004 that the company did not have the authority to test its cattle for mad cow disease. A bipartisan bill moving through the Senate would impose an across-the-board 27.5% tariff on U.S. imports from China. The bill reflects growing congressional tensions with the PRC over economic policies. The bill is sponsored by Chuck Schumer of New York and Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. Trade experts say China would likely challenge the measure should it become law before the World Trade Organization. The Bush administration says it opposes an across-the-board tariff against China. Still, the measure could face a vote before the end of March, just ahead of an April visit to Washington, D.C. by China's president. Trade negotiators are meeting in Geneva to discuss agriculture. And while there's been some talk on tariffs, quotas, and sensitive goods, American Farm Bureau trade specialist Dave Salmonson says the parties have shown little willingness to bargain seriously.
We're also hearing that the April 30th deadline may not be doable for having the full modalities, getting all the formulas and all the price agreements and price arrangements on the different pillars. Certainly in the past, deadlines have been set. Deadlines haven't always been met as far as getting these modalities done. If not April 30th, then, of course, you see the next natural break in these negotiations always seems to be the end of July.
Salmonson says that makes it harder to complete the Doha round before U.S. Congressional Trade Promotion Authority runs out in July of 2007. Salmonson says Trade Promotion Authority rules would still apply to a trade deal 90 days after the July 1, 2007 date. The question is, can a deal still be done if next month's deadline slips?
Oh, I don't think it's fatal. I think it can still be done. I think the work can still get done. Certainly, you know, as they say, you have to work harder and faster, but it can still be done. But I believe the sense of urgency is still there and has to be growing. These things have to move along if they're going to get done and meet our TPA timetables.
Salmonson says there's still a chance the White House would seek and be granted a short-term TPA extension from Congress. A new University of Florida study is suggesting a worst-case scenario that would shrink the state's citrus industry by almost half over the next 15 years. The study says citrus canker and rising land prices could shrink the state's annual orange production to 123 million boxes, a 44% decrease. The study says the most likely outcome is a 152 million box average. Both scenarios would double the farm price for oranges. Scientists may have determined a way to clone livestock to become more resistant to the abnormal proteins that cause diseases such as mad cow disease. Researchers at Texas A&M University created a cell line for goats that is genetically coded to turn off the processes that would allow prion proteins to grow. Prions are abnormal proteins that cause diseases in livestock, such as BSE. USDA is sending a delegation of officials to Japan next week to urge the country to resume imports of U.S. beef. Undersecretary Charles Lambert, head of USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service and Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, will lead the delegation. National Farmers Union members from across the country will travel to Washington, D.C. next week for the organization's spring fly-in. NFU President Tom Bias says speaking against budget cuts to agricultural programs will be a top priority.
For the second year in a row, the administration is trying to balance the federal budget on the backs of our nation's hardworking family farm and ranch families while promoting tax cuts for the nation's wealthy. Our members will be here to remind their representatives in Congress that agriculture programs are not the cause of the record federal deficit and therefore should not be the solution.
Bias says farmer union members will also advocate for a two-year extension of the 2002 Farm Bill, saying now is not the right time to renegotiate.
Rural America's economy has deteriorated at a rapid pace as a result of skyrocketing energy costs, low commodity prices, looming budget cuts, and weather-related disasters. Extending the 2002 Farm Bill for an additional 2 years will ensure continuation of our economic safety net and other vital Farm Bill programs to help our nation's producers stay afloat in these tough times.
Farmers Union will also express support for legislation to provide comprehensive emergency disaster assistance for weather-related losses and increased energy input costs in 2005. The U.S. and European Union on Wednesday said they have signed a trade agreement compensating the U.S. for tariff increases in Eastern European countries after they joined the EU in 2004. The deal reduces several EU agricultural and industrial tariffs and gives the U.S. expanded access to tariff rate quotas for a broad range of agricultural goods. And if the most recent projections of the Renewable Fuels Association are correct, Nebraska could take the number two spot in ethanol production from Illinois within the next couple of years. The RAF says Nebraska's ethanol production is expected to swell to just over 1 billion gallons a year. Illinois' ethanol production is projected at 887 million gallons, an increase of 107 million gallons. RAF is not expecting a change at the top spot. Iowa is currently producing more than 1.1 billion gallons a year. RAF is projecting that number will climb to 1.7 billion gallons in the next few years. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing well. I suppose it's been fairly quiet with the decreases that we've been seeing lately on the board.
Yeah, very quiet. It seems like, a week or so ago, guys were calling, kind of seeing what the markets are doing, and they've kind of quit calling even to check the cash price as part of it. This week, after we got below $2 there in this area.
Are they beginning to focus on getting ready for spring work now?
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's pretty typical. That's, always a positive time and a good time whenever you start switching your focus over to that. So I think that they're kind of putting their focus that way instead of on the markets right now. And that's kind of continued to help this basis ease in. We've seen it continue to improve a little bit, slowly, but especially over you go west and towards the river and even further west into the, Iowa, you're seeing some pretty good basis improvement over the last week, anywhere from 2 to 5 cents on corn and 2 to 3 on beans.
We're hearing in some places they're in need of replacement bushels. Is that the situation in your neck of the woods?
Well, I think that... you're not really seeing that yet. I mean, you're starting to see some interest show up, but you're not seeing anybody, especially on the bean side. The processors here in Central Illinois over the last week really haven't changed their public bid, and I think they are out talking to people a little bit more and trying to see where the bushels may be, but we haven't really seen any improvement in the actual bids.
Are you seeing a push for elevators to try to get producers to commit to 2007 corn?
There's been quite a bit of talk about that. I think that there's some push out there. I don't know if it's coming necessarily from the elevator standpoint or maybe from some of the advisors. I think that for the most part, the elevators, they're nearby, their 2005 crop, getting the logistics figured out on that and planning for the 2006 crop are keeping most elevators busy at this point.
And what prices are producers looking to collect on 2006 that they might let some go?
Well, I think that if you look back there, that two... In this area, at least, that 230 to 235 level for, like, harvest time corn, I think that's still pretty attractive to people. You go down towards Central Illinois, like more towards you guys in Champaign, and you're looking more probably up into that 240 area. On the soybean side, I think the $6 mark is what everybody's got in their mind after they've seen it once, and it's kind of gone away from us now.
Your prices today?
$1.95 on the cash corn and $5.42 on the beans.
Thanks much, Bill.
Okay.
Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing. He is in Lexington, Illinois.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A man who spent time in jail with Maurice Legrone Jr. says Legrone told him he intentionally drowned three children in Clinton Lake in 2003. Dwight Hayden also testified today at Legrone's murder trial that Legrone said he planned to kill the children a week earlier but didn't because there were too many fishermen on the lake that day. Defense attorney Jeff Justice used his cross-examination to attack Hayden's nearly 40-year criminal record and varying accounts of his talks with Legrone. Champaign City officials will weigh in next week on an Ameren IP proposal to increase the delivery service rate portion of their electric bill by up to 18% over a two-year period. A city attorney says intervening on the suggested rate hike gives consumers a voice and could result in a lowering of the increase. Champaign City Council members will discuss the Ameren plan at their Tuesday night study session. Unemployment in Illinois has dropped to 5%, the lowest rate since December 2000. The State Department of Employment Security says last month's jobless rate improved from 5.2% in January and has now declined in seven of the last 8 months. It's a bit behind schedule, but construction work may begin in mid-spring on a new home for the Francis Nelson Health Center in Champaign. The clinic for uninsured and low-income patients plans to move out of its current overcrowded location to a much larger site at the Pioneer Plaza Shopping Center at Prospect in Bloomington. Francis Nelson Director Barbara Dunn says it could be open at the new location in November. The Indiana Toll Road is another step closer to being run by a group of foreign investors. The Indiana Finance Authority voted today to approve the 75-year lease of the toll road to the Spanish-Australian Consortium for nearly $4 billion. Governor Mitch Daniels plans to sign the lease by April 14th. The judge at former Illinois Governor George Ryan's racketeering trial wants jurors to get back to work and treat each other with respect. U.S. District Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer sent jurors a note today that urges them to get past the personal difficulties that have interfered with jury deliberations. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
And thanks for coming on in a substitution role this afternoon. We appreciate that.
Well, I thank you for thinking of me.
I want you to put on your longer-range spring forecast hat for me for a bit and tell me what your thoughts are regarding whether or not you believe this spring will be a wetter or drier than average affair.
Well, I certainly believe that for a period of time this spring we're going to be wetter than usual. April seems to be the month of choice. We'll probably see several storm systems march right across the heart of the region, really stalling out some early season field work pre-planting field work. But anyway, these storms will march across the region from the southwestern part of the U.S. into the northeastern sections of the country, and this kind of flow pattern is very similar to what occurred just earlier this week with that big storm in the plains. I'm not suggesting that we're going to see systems quite that large again necessarily, but their repetitiveness will be high enough that we're going to see enough moisture across the region that we're going to maintain a soggy soil situation for the eastern Midwest, and likely ramp up soil moisture in the western areas. Now, Iowa's still got some pretty significant moisture deficits in the subsoil and a wetter weather pattern for a little while this spring in Iowa would certainly be welcome. But too much of a good thing is not a good thing, and we may have some planting delays that occur across portions of the Midwest because of that. But looking a little bit further down the road, it looks to me like May turns a little bit drier and warmer for many areas, and we should be able to get some aggressive field work and good drying conditions to take place for a while in that month.
All right, let's turn our attention to the more near term and talk about precipitation possibilities and temperatures.
All right, it looks as though for the next few days we're going to definitely be colder than usual across a large portion of the Midwest and the plains. The plains will start to warm up a little bit this weekend, but for areas near and east of the Mississippi River, we're going to probably have to wait until we get to the early part of next week before we really get into a significant warm-up. The cold air that's going to be with us will be cold enough to squeeze some snow snow flurries and snow shower activity across the region. I don't expect the precipitation to accumulate in a significant manner, but it's going to make us feel a lot like it's wintertime instead of spring. As we go into next week, though, the situation will start to change. Always when you get warmer air returning after a period of cold weather like this, you run the risk of overrunning moisture into that cold air mass, which usually sets the stage for some precipitation to evolve, and that's what we're expecting early next week. A little disturbance will come across the Midwest with the warmer air, and that will generate both rain, snow, and maybe even a little freezing rain across a portion of the region. This particular storm system should be fairly weak, however. By the time we get to the second half of next week, the potential for a much larger storm will begin to increase, and this sets us up for that wet weather pattern that I mentioned before for the month of April. We may see our first in a series of storm systems start to march across the region as early as late next week. More likely, it'll be in that second weekend, which is April 1st and 2nd, and we'll probably see a couple of other storm systems come in behind it. Now, it's not necessarily just going to rain every day for a week or two, but I do think that the storms that do come across the region will be large enough in size. It'll be difficult for us to dry out in a significant manner between their events.
Thanks much, Drew.
Hey, you have a good day now.
You too. Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
And that's today's closing market report. Don't forget to tune in to Commodity Week on Saturday morning at 11:30 a.m. Central Time. And you can subscribe by podcast to the Closing Market Report. It's as easy as going to our website at WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.